Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Time for a Turning Point, Setting a Course Toward Free Markets and Limited Government for Future Generations by Charlie Kirk is a work of conservative political nonfiction focused on the political and economic direction of the United States. The book presents free markets, limited government, individual liberty, and youth civic engagement as central principles for preserving prosperity and constitutional self-government. Its perspective is closely connected to Kirk as founder of Turning Point USA, an organization known for promoting conservative ideas among students and young adults. Rather than functioning as an academic economics text or a neutral survey of public policy, the book is best understood as an advocacy-oriented argument aimed at readers who are concerned about government expansion, cultural change, and the political formation of younger generations. Its purpose is to frame conservative economic and civic principles as practical guides for future citizens, especially those entering political debate through campuses, media, and grassroots activism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, free markets as a framework for opportunity and personal responsibility. A central theme of the book is the defense of free markets as a mechanism for broad prosperity and individual agency. Kirk treats economic freedom not merely as a technical policy preference, but as a moral and civic principle tied to the ability of people to work, innovate, own property, start businesses, and make voluntary choices. In this view, markets are valuable because they disperse decision-making across individuals rather than concentrating it in government agencies. That argument is consistent with a long tradition of American conservative thought that connects entrepreneurship, competition, and private enterprise with social mobility. The book is not primarily designed to offer a detailed economic model, so its emphasis is less on specialized analysis and more on communicating why market institutions matter to younger readers. Its reasoning depends on the claim that prosperity is more durable when people can respond to prices, incentives, and opportunity without excessive political control. This makes free enterprise the foundation for a broader argument about citizenship, because economic independence is presented as a condition that supports political independence. Secondly, limited government as a safeguard against dependency and political overreach. The title signals that limited government is not a secondary concern, but one of the book's main commitments. Kirk presents government expansion as a threat to liberty, fiscal discipline, and civic independence. The underlying reasoning is that when government assumes too many economic and social functions, citizens become less able to govern their own lives and communities. This is a familiar conservative argument, but the book frames it for future generations by linking the size of government to the long-term habits of a society. Limited government is treated as a constitutional and cultural principle, not only a budgetary preference. The concern is that centralized authority can weaken local initiative, private charity, family responsibility, and market competition. The book, therefore, positions smaller government as a way to preserve space for civil society and individual judgment. This argument also implies skepticism toward broad federal programs and regulatory expansion. Its strength is clarity of principle, while its limits are that readers looking for detailed policy trade-offs may find the approach more ideological than technocratic. Thirdly, youth political formation and the role of campus conservatism. The book stands out within conservative political writing because its audience is clearly tied to younger Americans, especially students and early career readers. Kirk's public work through Turning Point USA gives the book a movement-building orientation. Its concern is not only what policies should exist, but how a generation develops the vocabulary and confidence to defend those policies in public settings. Campus conservatism is important in this framework because universities are treated as formative institutions where political assumptions are learned, challenged, and normalized. The book aims to make conservative principles accessible to readers who may be encountering debates over capitalism, socialism, government power, and civic identity in school or online. Its practical implication is that political ideas require organization, communication, and repetition if they are to influence culture. This shifts the book from pure policy commentary towards civic training. The argument assumes that young people are not passive recipients of politics, but potential advocates who can shape institutions, elections, and public conversation over time. Fourthly, generational responsibility in debates over debt, freedom, and public institutions. The phrase "future generations" gives the book a forward-looking emphasis. Kirk frames political choices as intergenerational decisions rather than isolated disputes over current events. Within that frame, issues such as government spending, regulatory growth, economic freedom, and civic education affect not only present voters but also citizens who will inherit the consequences. This theme matters because it connects conservative economic arguments to questions of stewardship. a government that promises more than it can sustainably provide may transfer costs to younger people through taxes, inflationary pressure, debt service, or reduced economic dynamism. The book uses this concern to argue that fiscal and constitutional restraint are forms of responsibility to the future. The reasoning is not simply that lower spending is preferable, but that unchecked public commitments can narrow the choices available to later generations. This makes the book less about nostalgia and more about political inheritance. Its generational focus also helps explain why it addresses young readers directly. They are portrayed as the group with the greatest stake in reversing long-term expansion of state power. Lastly, activism as the bridge between conservative ideas and political change, beyond its discussion of free markets and limited government, the book emphasizes the need to translate ideas into political action. This reflects Kirk's broader role as an organizer rather than only a commentator. The book presents conservative principles as requiring public defense through persuasion, local involvement, campus debate, voting, and institution building. This practical orientation differentiates it from books that remain at the level of abstract theory. The implied mechanism is that policy outcomes depend on cultural confidence and organized participation. If supporters of limited government do not communicate their case, larger institutions will be shaped by opposing ideas. The book, therefore, treats activism as a civic responsibility, especially for younger conservatives who may feel outnumbered in educational or media environments. At the same time, its activist purpose means the book is likely to be more compelling to readers already sympathetic to its premises than to readers seeking a detached comparative analysis of political ideologies. Its value lies in clarifying a conservative call to participation, not in offering a neutral map of all policy positions. In conclusion, Time for a Turning Point is best suited for readers who want an accessible conservative argument about economics, government power, and youth political engagement. Students, young activists, campus leaders, and general readers interested in free market conservatism are the most natural audience. The practical benefit is that it gives readers a compact framework for connecting economic liberty, constitutional restraint, and civic participation. Intellectually, it introduces the logic behind a modern American conservative concern that government growth can weaken both prosperity and self-government. It will be less useful for readers seeking a detailed policy manual, bipartisan analysis, or a heavily sourced academic treatment of political economy. Its distinctive place in the category comes from its generational and activist emphasis. Many conservative books defend markets or criticize government expansion, but this one is positioned around forming younger citizens and encouraging them to act within campuses, communities, and political institutions. That connection to the youth-oriented work of Turning Point USA gives the book a movement-centered identity. It stands out not because it offers a new economic theory, but because it frames familiar conservative principles as a practical agenda for future generations. If you would like to support Charlie Kirk, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.